you believed an institutional should make it hard for people to live their lives so they'd feel pressured to get vaccinated. Could we run the audio clip on that, please?
You think can be done about it? I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us, you get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve. And, you know, I got to tell you, I've been getting a lot of questions of late from you guys about concerns over reports, government reports, that a new national emergency may indeed be right around the corner. You may have noticed that talk about an H5N1 avian flu is ramping up, according to government sources. I was actually shocked. I was doing some reading on this. Over the last couple of years, they've basically been slaughtering like tens of millions of healthy birds, chickens, turkeys, other poultry in the process. And needless to say, no one is being comforted by the claim that they're doing this to, quote, and I kid you not, stop the spread. So what should we make of what's going on here with this H5N1 flu? I mean, there are obvious concerns here, but it's not just about the advent of another pandemic, conveniently right before another presidential election. Obviously, the major concern here is the epidemic of dystopian government control. So here to help us make sense of all this is Dr. Kelly Victory from The Wellness Company. Dr. Kelly is an emergency preparedness expert, a member of the Leadership Council at Harvard School of Public Health, and a Truly Talks sponsor. And she's here today to give us the inside scoop on how we should be preparing for what may indeed be lying ahead. Plus, The Wellness Company is offering specifically our audience of courageous conservatives an amazing discount on their medical emergency kit. It's a kit I have, my family has. We absolutely love it. Just scan the QR code or click the link below for $45 off your own medical emergency kit if you use code TURLEY. Dr. Kelly, welcome. It's an honor to have you here on the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Steve.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, like I said, I've been getting a lot of these questions of late, and I got to be honest, I don't quite know how to answer them. So I'm really glad you're here. A lot of our audience is concerned about this heightened alert over the advent of a possible bird flu, particularly this H5N1. So what's your assessment of the situation and its potential to turn into another pandemic?
Well, great topic, Steve. And people have a right to be concerned about this, but not for the reasons you might think. It's nothing to do with the virus. It's entirely because of the likely response of our government. The powers that be are desperate to get us back into a situation where we are fearful and can easily be manipulated, control our travel, where we work, where we go, who we convene with, those sorts of things. The reality about bird flu, H5N1 in particular, this was discovered back in 1996. Over those last decades, there have been outbreaks every now and again, mostly affecting poultry workers, people in direct contact with infected birds or infected cattle. It does not on its own spread easily human to human. There's only a total of, I think, 800 cases we've had since 1996, 800 and some odd cases. Wow. So not exactly a big deal. No. We've had 3 reported cases in the United States in this calendar year, again, amongst people who were in direct contact with infected animals, and their symptoms were extraordinarily mild. Pink eye, conjunctivitis is all they had. Now, what people need to know, however, and this will ring familiar, the H5N1 that is out there appears to be coming directly out of a lab. Our own government is conducting gain-of-function research on H5N1 in the United States at the USDA lab near Athens, Georgia, and at multiple academic labs, including the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And they are doing gain of function with the specific goal of making H5N1 more transmissible human to human. So it really begs the question, why would they do that? I guarantee part of it's because they already have a vaccine at the ready. Dr. Tedros for the WHO has already come out and said, don't worry, people, we have a brand new mRNA vaccine for this flu ready. And as I said, because I think it's expedient for political purposes as a way to control people. So should we start to see bird flu all of a sudden start spreading person to person, which, as I said, it doesn't normally do on its own, then I can pretty much guarantee you it's because it's the result of gain of function research.
Yeah, something manipulative and artificial. I mean, do you think the current administration would do something like this? I mean, could they use this avian flu to lock the country down? Do you think we would allow for something like that? Would we stand for that again?
Well, two very different questions. The first one, would they do it? You betcha they would. Yeah. Because it was very, very powerful the last time. Fear is a really great way to control people, and desperate administrations do desperate things.
Yeah.
So I think the proximity to the election is somewhat telling. I have other things, by the way, on my bingo card, including monkeypox and Ebola and some others. They may run up the flagpole. So it might not be bird flu. They've been alluding to the idea of this disease X that's coming. And we still have adequate time between now and the election for them to actually launch something. The second question you ask is, would we allow it? Would we fall for it again? I'd like to say no. Unfortunately, there's still a portion of our population, probably 25%. They're the people who are still wearing masks alone in their car. There are still people swabbing down, the shopping cart with alcohol, and those sorts of things. And unfortunately, although I'm making somewhat light of it, it's really tragic because we have about a quarter of our population that will never get out of the basement of fear. They are stuck there. And frankly, they have adopted things like mask wearing as almost, a security blanket. It's like a infant, a newborn that you wrap in swaddling, that, that infant loses control of its own arms and legs, but somehow feels secure in that chrysalis. So it's a sad state of affairs. And I'm hoping that more people will have learned a hard lesson from COVID, even those who may have given in and complied and thought they were doing the right thing, maybe, for example, multiply vaccinated for COVID. Hopefully enough people have learned the lesson and that the things, for example, that I was saying from day one, that masking was futile, that social distancing was totally made up, that lockdowns would do far more harm than good, that children were never at risk, and there was never a rationale for closing schools and those sorts of things. Those have all borne out to be true. Right. I was ridiculed for saying them early on, but we even have people like Anthony Fauci now on the record acknowledging things like the 6-foot distancing was made up.
Right, right. Completely arbitrary again. You mentioned some of the lessons that we've learned from what we experienced in 2020 and the like. What are some of those lessons? What do you think we've learned that we can carry forward and apply in the event that this does turn into another pandemic and the government tries to shut things down again?
Well, I think the first and foremost is that people need to learn to retrust again their own common sense. If something doesn't add up, the idea that you have to have the mask on when you're getting on the plane, but then you can take the mask off while you eat your pretzels and then you got to put the mask back. So if something doesn't make sense, it probably is made up. It probably is a manipulation technique. So there is a lot of that going on. We also need to learn to get back to the basics of good health. Steve, we can't vaccinate our way to good health. We cannot vaccinate our way out of every infectious disease. Okay, we can't just stay in the basement, bathe in Purell, and hope the government comes up with another, you know, vaccine or new, you know, medication like remdesivir or Paxlovid. We need to get back to the basics, like, you know, adequate sleep, regular exercise, good nutrition, stress mitigation, those sorts of things that enhance your immune system. Those are things. We also should have learned, and any physician worth his salt knew, we never initiate a vaccination program in the middle of an outbreak, in the middle of a pandemic, because it drives viral mutations. This is a, you know, kind of epidemiology, virology 101. There's a reason we haven't done it before. And to get back for a second to this issue with bird flu, you pointed out, rightly so, I think they are using this. They are culling millions of birds, of poultry birds, poultry animals, and cattle, and pigs, because they are, quote, testing positive for bird flu. In other words, they're using these same faulty PCR tests, shoving swabs up, you know, the noses of these animals, and then killing them rather than allowing the virus to make its way through the herd, through the flock. They some, you know, number of animals may die, but the rest will develop natural immunity. Again, one of the great frauds that was perpetrated upon us during COVID was that somehow vaccine-induced immunity for the first time in recorded history was going to be better than natural immunity. That is never the case. Natural immunity is always superior.
Yeah, I'm still scratching my head at how, of all the nations in Europe, Sweden was the one that seemed to get it closest to the mark. You know, everybody else, I thought it would have been the Germans or, you know, something like that. But yeah, they seem to get. I'm just listening to you, and I'm hearing resonating all the rhetoric I was hearing from Swedish experts, and they were like, "This is crazy. I don't know what you guys are doing, but we're not joining you in this." So how do we? Yeah. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, you say, no, you're right. They got rid of the mask mandates early on. They opened their schools. They let kids go on, you know, their merry way. And as I said, these, you know, I didn't say the things that I said from the very beginning because I was a really good guesser. You know, I said them because these are things that are established in the, you know, in the literature. We've known for decades you know, that face masks do virtually nothing to stop the spread of a respiratory virus, for example, and that certainly has nothing to do with why doctors wear face masks. So this stuff was, these were abject lies that we were being told. These were not mistakes my government made. These were lies my government told me.
Yeah, and they were deliberately shutting down dissent, discussion. So what was it, the Barrington Declaration? They deliberately tried to quell and to crush and suppress. I mean, this is insane. That's not open inquiry. That's not the scientific method.
Correct.
I mean, it was so bizarre. So I my hat's off to you. Thank you for your boldness in the midst of all that. Obviously, you've been vindicated. So let's talk about being proactive here. Mm-hmm. What steps can we take now? Right now, to prepare for any possible craziness in the future, H5N1, whatever it is, what steps can we take now based on what we've learned from the past here?
Well, a couple things I'd like to talk about. First of all, September, by the way, is National Disaster Preparedness Month, which is my area of expertise. And so I am really focusing on the things that people should do. It's easy to procrastinate on this, but people should be thinking about putting together the kinds of kits that would at least get you 3 to 5 days in the case of a serious disaster, shutdown, lockdown, things of that sort, which means emergency food and water, emergency medications, and emergency gear. Now, obviously, emergency medications, that's an area of expertise for me and my colleagues at the Wellness Company. the wellness company really was born, Steve, out of the egregious actions of our government during COVID. The fact that people had a hard time even filling a legitimate prescription written by a physician if it was for something that, you know, the government or, you know, the pharmacist or the pharmacy or the hospital administrator decided, no, you can't have that. Right, I mean, it was complete and total overreach. So we've put together a series of kits. They're all a little bit different. You can go to the Wellness Company website to see what's in each kit, but they all contain a broad range of medications, most of them prescription medications, for things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, amoxicillin. So it has a broad range of antivirals, antibacterial medications, antibiotics, and then some other things that are supportive, like steroids, for example. The contagion kit actually includes an ability to nebulize or have an inhaled steroid. Very, very important. We have a new children's kit that's coming out and should be available within the next few weeks. Have a travel emergency kit. The last thing you want in the time of a disaster or an emergency of any sort is to be beholden to, be at the mercy of the system. You know, think about what happens every time there's a storm coming. You know, you can't find a loaf of bread at your local grocery store because people flock and they buy those things. Right. You know, supplies run thin very, very quickly, even when there's the threat of a disaster. When one actually happens, the last thing you want is to be in a position where you need to go to an emergency room or urgent care if you can avoid it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting because one of the things that that 2020 taught me, and this is what one of the advantages I have of having this channel and meeting wonderful people like yourself, is I always thought I was prepared. I was prepared with food. I was prepared with water and so forth. Not medicine. I didn't have anything. I could not. I can't believe I didn't even think in terms of medical preparedness. I mean, literally nothing. And so a huge thank you to you guys, because now I do have, I am prepared there. But I mean, can you really just bring it home to our listeners, the importance of having these medicines? It's not just food. It's not just water. It's medicines on hand in case of a national emergency.
Absolutely. So you first, obviously, you want to think about those medications that you take routinely yourself, whether they're blood pressure medications or medications for diabetes or whatever else. And you should have an additional month supply of it. Most insurance companies, if you go and say, I'm going to be traveling and I want, you know, a vacation refill, they will allow you to refill it early so you can get a month ahead and have that tucked away with your emergency supplies. Then these kits we put together, we put a lot of thought into these, Steve, to give the broadest range and broadest application of these different medicines. So any one medication can be used to treat, for example, a sinus infection or infectious diarrhea because you drank water that was contaminated, those sorts of things, skin infections. So we tried to include things that weren't just this only treats one thing. There are medications that treat really a lot of different things. Furthermore, these kits come with a telemedicine visit. So you can always talk to one of the doctors at the wellness company real time like this to coach you or to guide you how to use any of the medications that are in the kits. And they also come with a very detailed guidebook. One of the things we've included in several of our kits now is an EpiPen. I don't know if anybody, if anybody has children or themselves, they have issues with severe allergy. You might be aware that there's been a national shortage of EpiPens and they're extremely expensive. We've got some of the best pricing on EpiPens and we add that or provide it as an add-on to quite a few of our kits.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Gang, seriously, I mean, think about just really think this through. If the government tried to lock down the country again today, would you have everything you needed squared away at home? Right. It's not a scare tactic. It is practical preparedness. I've actually read we're the first generation not to prepare. That's an interesting. Our grandparents, our great grandparents, they always had food, water, clothing set aside. Now we can actually have medical preparedness added to that repertoire. So gang, whatever you do, just bite the bullet. Do it now. Scan the QR code on the screen or click on the link below. Get your medical emergency kit and you're going to get $45 off if you use code Turley. So it's a win-win, right? I've got mine. I can honestly tell you, gang. And like I admitted, I didn't even know I was missing this. The moment I learned I'm missing this, I could tell you the peace of mind that my kit brings to me, my family's unmatched. So it's time to get prepared, bite that bullet, and get your emergency kit, your medical emergency kit today. Dr. Kelly, thank you so much for bringing clarity in the midst of all this crazy confusion. It's very appreciated.
Well, thanks for having me.